There are two things that most of us really hate. Firstly, someone who lies, who bears false witness. And secondly, someone who sows discord within a family. And not only do we hate those things, but God hates them too, with a vengeance. And if God hates them, well, maybe they're worth steering clear of. Do you think? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. There are some things that my beautiful wife Jackie hates. She hates it when I show indifference to her new shoes that she's just bought. She hates it when I'm a bit too hard with our daughter. She hates it when I don't take the time to listen to her and understand her. There aren't many things like that, but those would be just about at the top of her hit parade. Now, I'm your typical male, and just quietly between you and me, shoes, well, you know, to me shoes are something you put on your feet to stop them from getting cut up and dirty and cold. And the only reason to buy new shoes is because your old ones have a hole in them. I can hear all the women saying, see, typical male. Well, I'm sorry, I am. So over the years, I've been trying to learn not to do things that I know Jackie is going to hate. I still do sometimes, of course, as I'm sure she'd tell you. It's still very much a work in progress for me. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that I don't want to do things that upset her. I love her, and so I'm trying to learn not to do those things, as slow a learner as perhaps I may seem to her to be. And it's the same with God. There are certain things that God hates. He hates them with a vengeance. They're an abomination to him. And I don't know about you, but I love God. And the last thing I want to do is to do the things that God hates. So, over the last couple of days, in this series of messages called Wisdom That Works, we've been looking at the seven things that God hates. Let me read them again to you. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that hurry to run to do evil, a lying witness who testifies falsely, and one who sows discord in a family. Now, we've managed so far to chat about all of those except the last two, the lying witness who testifies falsely and the one who sows discord in a family. Now, law courts are not a place where I've spent a lot of time. Once for a car accident when I was aged 19, several times with soldiers who'd been charged for this or that when I was an officer in the army, and once to be sworn in as a justice of the peace. I've never, for instance, been at a murder trial or anything serious like that, but I can imagine the gravity of proceedings in a serious trial. There's a lot at stake. Justice itself is at stake, that there should be a fair trial with a burden of proof resting with the prosecution. The defendant is on trial. His or her whole future depends on the outcome. Imagine if an innocent person were convicted. And to some extent, the victim or the victim's family or both, depending on the nature of the alleged crime, in a sense, they feel a bit on trial too. For them, a large part of the process of healing and recovery involves justice being done. So, imagine in a highly charged, high-stakes trial for a major crime with so much at stake, imagine that a crucial witness lies. And as a result, there's a miscarriage of justice, either in one direction or in the other. That's something of an abomination, isn't it? We can totally understand why God would hate this. And yet people lie all the time in day-to-day life. They say and do things in the workplace that will get their work colleagues into trouble. They tell the boss one thing when something entirely different has actually occurred. Oh, well, that's not the same as lying under oath in a murder trial. But what God's saying to us here through Solomon in this book of Proverbs, what he's saying is, oh, yes, it is. It is exactly the same thing. It is an abomination to me when you as a witness bear false witness. It is something I hate. I trust you find that a bit of an insight into God's nature and God's wisdom as sobering as I do. Last week we saw Solomon kick off this wisdom book of Proverbs with a statement that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I trust that it's become clear why he said that. You know, we start bearing false witness quite early in our lives. Of course, I never blamed my sister for something that I'd done wrong. Not much. Of course I did. And I'm sure if you had brothers and sisters, you've been both on the receiving end and the dishing out end of that little equation. And that leads us to the last of the seven things in this list of things that are an abomination to God. Someone who sows discord in a family. Families are such a precious thing. Hard sometimes, isn't it, to be part of a family? Whether it's husband, wife, with stresses and strains of modern life tearing away at their marriage and conspiring seemingly to pull them apart, or the pressures of bringing up the children, holding down a job and paying the mortgage and putting food on the table. And as I remember, it's not particularly easy being a child growing up in a family either some days. As we move into those teenage years, we want to spread our wings and have our own way, and yet we're still subject to the authority of our parents, which is why so often there's conflict in families. I guess that the point I'm making here is that there is already so much going on in life that puts pressures on our families. And the last thing a family needs is pressure from within. The last thing a family needs is a husband and a father who's so domineering that his wife's personality is being suffocated or his children are being provoked. The last thing a family needs is a mother who doesn't show respect to her husband and who undermines his authority in front of the children. And the last thing a family needs are children who deliberately set about rebelling against and dishonoring their parents. In each of those cases, it's about sowing discord into the family, and it's like sowing seeds for weeds. Those weeds grow and they thrive and they take over the good fruit that should be growing in a family. I know that relationships in families can be highly charged, and that's why, listen to this, that's why God hated when we sow discord in families. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, honour and respect your husbands. Mums and dads, nurture, love and discipline your children. And children, obey and honour your parents. This is not complicated. And in living out our lives that way in a family, that's how we honour God. That's how we show that this family who believes in Jesus, who professes a faith called Christianity, is different from the rest. Is a family ever going to be perfect? No. Am I ever going to be 100% perfect father? No. I'm me, and I'm going to make mistakes just as you do. But friend, when we set about being peacemakers in the home, when we turn the other cheek, when we discipline our children out of love rather than out of anger and resentment, then what we're doing is we're sowing good seed that will bear good fruit. I know that this is a journey, this wisdom thing. I know it's frustrating, and I know that to sow peace rather than discord involves sacrifice and pain sometimes. But it's pretty obvious, isn't it? All seven things in that list that God hates, that list of abominations, each one is obvious. Let's listen to it again one last time. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that hurry to run to evil, a lying witness who testifies falsely, and one who sows discord in a family. My friend, none of those are complicated. None of those are rocket science. None of those are up for grabs or up for debate that they shouldn't be in that list. They are clear, they are unequivocal, they are wrong, and God hates them. I would encourage you to take this list on board. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. The seven things that God hates that are an abomination to him. Hey, let's avoid them, huh? You've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, does not want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favour? Could you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart, his heart, is to reach the unreached with God's love. If you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer points at christianityworks.com. And while you're there, don't forget that there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like marriage and family, relationships, adversity, and lots, lots more. God's word is so powerful. So check out that Media Lounge at christianityworks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive the word of God into your heart. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.